Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Shall we look at our assignment from yesterday?
Yes, please.
I respectfully decline the invitation to join your hallucination. It would be easy to assume that the author was speaking of society in general or the world at large. That would be in keeping with the Buddha's statement that society is insane. For our purposes, it might be more helpful to see the invitation being declined as the one being offered incessantly by the delusion that is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. We don't need to fight with the illusion. We can simply respectfully decline to engage with it. Today, each time you find yourself engaging with the voices and conditioned mind, smile, say thank you, and turn attention to the gratitude you feel for knowing a kinder, more loving way.
All right.
Let's hear from our first caller.
Happened. Yeah.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rick from Salt Lake.
Hello,
hey, Rick.
Hi. Good exercise. It was kind of perfect timing for me because the day yesterday was filled with some content that was kind of fertile territory for conditioning to make a lot of hay out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like, you know, there were stretches during the day where it kind of felt like that iconic comedy sketch where Lucy and Ethel are at the chocolate factory and the chocolates are coming out faster than they can keep up. You know the one.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah. Yeah. That's such a perfect image of conditioning coming at us, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, I realized that I was in fighting mode or resistance mode, and then going back to the assignment and remembering, wait a minute, this isn't about fighting, we smile, we say thank you, mm-hmm. and then we turn our attention to the gratitude of knowing we have a kinder way. And so what I started doing was literally throwing on a smile, literally saying thank you, and then turning my attention to, again, the gratitude of knowing that there's a kinder way. And that softened it. You know, so thank you for the wording in that assignment because it helped me to catch that I was probably having an ego on ego experience with the fighting, and it was and it was softened when I realized that I can smile, I can say thank you. Which when I did it physically, I mean, conditioning was going ballistic, going, this isn't the way to do it, but it turned out to be the way to do it.
Huh. Amazing. It was lying to you. It was trying to lead you astray. How
what do
shocking,
you know?
Huh?
Who
what
would
do you
thought?
Know? Yeah. Well, and the softening is really, that's good, isn't it? Because in two ways. One, that it does take us to that, the assignment does take us to that softer, gentler way that we know how to be. And also, just overall, because it's not like the fact that you started doing this caused ego to say, oh, I guess we'll give up on him, right? The chocolates keep coming, right? It's just that are we having a good time with it? You know, are we doing, you know, learning to throw them over our shoulder instead of getting all hysterical about getting them where they're supposed to be? It's that kind of it becomes playful. It becomes entertaining. Yeah. And so everything stays the same. It's just that now we're enjoying life in a way that ego really wants us not to enjoy life.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good
that's
stuff.
So fun.
Yeah. So thank you.
You're so welcome.
Much.
All right. And one other thing before you go, Rick. Thich Nhat Hanh is the guy who gets all the credit for the smile business in modern Buddhism in America. Because that was such a big part of what he, I don't know what he, you know, I don't know about later years, but early on, encouraging people, especially in meditation, to sit with a half smile.
Mm.
That it's such a bring you to the present. You can't smile if you're not present. You know, it just we just forget. And so to come back to present and smile, and it sends a message to the whole system that it's fine. I'm happy. I'm enjoying myself. That's what the smile means, right? Mm. And so if we turn it around backwards, then we smile and we realize we start having the smile experience rather than what ego would have us do is wait until there's a smile-worthy event and then you're allowed to smile. Why shouldn't we
exactly.
smile all the time? Why shouldn't Why shouldn't we be happy all the time? Well, no reason. Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah, I like that, to let the smile lead out.
Yes, yeah. All right, well, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye now. Bye, Ashwini.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Rick. That's so lovely to know that we are in resistance, and instead of resisting resistance, to surrender in that way, for awareness to be expanded enough for the assignment to drop in, and then to realize that we are fighting, and that's an ego versus ego place, and we could turn to gratitude and smile instead. Such practice in action.
Yeah, and what you just said is such an important clarification that it's resistance. That's that ego thing. It's that resistance is resisting resistance. Mm-hmm. And talk about a fast way to make sure we stay in resistance, right? So if I get talked into believing, well, you know, it's not resistance. I'm really going up against ego. No, it's resistance resisting resistance, and that's all in the ego world.
Mhm.
Yeah.
So shall we hear from our next caller, Sherry?
Yeah.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hello, Sherry.
Hey, hello. Well, I've had some interesting content in the form of a kidney stone over the last few days.
Ooh, ow.
Yeah. I know. And, you know, so two things that I was seeing around this particular assignment, which was the illusion, right, the illusion of something's wrong.
Uh-huh.
And it came in, I have to tell you, so the first time that I saw that illusion, I was in the emergency room with two really dear friends. I was in the middle of a writing workshop when it came on. My two dear friends who were there rushed me to the ER, and one of them was trying to contact my family to let them know, and a tweet popped in from you, right? So the tweet said, "It's never too late to have a happy day," or something like that.
Even in the emergency room.
Exactly. Like, I was screaming, swearing. I mean, it was like, this was like the height of the pain, right? And my friend saw it, cracked up, and said, "Sherry, listen to what just came in." And it instantly, I saw through the whole illusion. Like, because what I saw in that moment, we laughed, and I was like, I looked up at my two friends who were just like totally present with me and so loving and caring doctors and nurses, right? And it's like all of a sudden I saw, like, oh my, I am in a place of love and care.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. And if we I don't know where we were talking about this recently. Maybe on open air. But, you know, how do people do this who don't have practice? You know, what happens to a person without that ability? I mean, all those same things could be there. They could be with kind, loving friends. They could be in the hands of caring, really competent professionals. All of those, you know, have an emergency room to go to. But without that ability to step back and appreciate it, it's just a screaming, swearing, ego triumph.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And I had a second opportunity, which is also really great. So it's like I thought the kidney stone had passed. I was feeling great. And I was like making all these recordings about, like, I felt resurrected and so grateful for my health and my life, and the pain was gone. And then it came back. Like, so I hadn't there. Hadn't passed it, or a second one came. I don't know what happened, but, oh, like, so there again, right? Like, boom, I saw it. Like, something's wrong. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Like, something dropped in. So, again, I was surrounded by my incredible family, right? Just such love. Like, and so something dropped in, and I said to my son, please tell me jokes. Please tell me jokes. Like, and he just started.
I hate jokes.
He went to the internet. Went to the internet and just started, like, it didn't even matter what they were. But again, like, I saw, like, boom, everything, like, even though it was searing, intense pain, but it was like, instead, I just saw how great is this, you know, that,
yeah.
You know, my entire the family was there. They were just like, all of them started telling jokes and making fun of me. And I mean, it was just, it was perfect.
Yeah. You know, Sherry, in one of those situations, what occurs to me is the last time you had that kind of pain, you got your son.
I know.
Right? This time, it's a little harder to have that same, oh boy, reaction when it's a kidney stone. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that, Sherry. It's so true. It's so true.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, my writer friends, because I was at this group of like six when I first got that first stone and had to go to ER, they all like were like, oh my goodness, you know, like they were making all these great metaphors about it, and it's like, yeah, what does it mean, you know, what is in the depths of us that needs to be released, and all these beautiful, like, you know, I love being with writers because they turn it into this poetic metaphor, right?
Yeah, deep meaning. Yeah.
Right. So, but. But right, but when I saw this, you know, yesterday, I'm still sort of, I think I'm either still passing the second one or whatever. So it's like, but when I saw that Project Joy come in, it just was such a great reminder that the illusion of there's something wrong.
Yes. And, you know, Sherry, this whole first stone, second stone thing takes me to that place that we're all familiar with in practice where, wow, I thought I was through that.
Yes.
You know, so especially I always do it with depressed people, especially because we're all so familiar with that. Oh, thank God it's over. Thank God that's behind me. And then the, oh no, oh no, oh no, here it comes again, right? But it can be anything, right? I had gotten cheerful and happy about this particular piece of content, or I'd let go of being annoyed with my coworker, or what my, you know, whatever it is. I've seen through that. I'm on the other side of that. And then here it comes again. And how are we with that? Right? And it's so beautiful that you said, I need jokes. I need humor here. Yeah.
And Sherry, I'm so glad you just brought that piece in because I hadn't seen that, but that is so important about this, right? Because it's getting to that place. Like, I might have 20 stones. I don't know. I might, you know what I mean? I don't know. But what I do know is that I can be present in each moment, right? And just like, all right, now I feel great. Like, right now, I feel great. But I know it hasn't passed, so I know, you know. But is that right? I'll be with what comes.
That's it, Sherry. That's it. You've just laid out practice for us all, right? So I feel great. I feel great now. The pain is past, right? But I know there's going to be more pain. And so when there's more pain, I'm going to experience the pain, and I'm going to be with the human being who's experiencing that pain, and we're going to be in it together. I just read a piece quote. I don't honestly know if it was from yesterday or today, but the one about death being the ultimate yes to life. For anybody who hasn't seen it, it just fits perfectly with what we're talking about. Because that's it. Whatever happens in life, my commitment is to being with this human being in unconditional love, acceptance, and gratitude. That's it. So then we can enjoy, we can actually enjoy every moment.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank goodness
you're so
for
welcome.
Practice. I could still just be in this whole
goodness.
Place, right?
Yeah, I was recording this morning. I'll confess, I was recording this morning, and I had one of those "Why me, God?" moments. You know what?
Wow.
What in the world ever happened somewhere in this universe that positioned this human being to receive all of this? There is nothing that could have happened that was a matter of deserving. And so, therefore, I know that this is simply what is available to all of us all the time. And it's just, you know, again, that image of fall down and kiss the ground in gratitude.
Yes.
Why us? Yes. Why us, God? I don't know. Just thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
All right,
peace,
God,
show.
Yes,
bye-bye.
To you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jerry. I just love those examples of practice in action, you know. And that quote was just so perfect this morning, the Daily Peace quote about death is the only thing that says yes to life. Because in every other case, there's another process that argues for it to be different. It's the only non-negotiable yes. And that is the hallucination, right, Jerry, that the assignment was pointing at, that whatever is going on, I assume I can say no to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, that is so important. As long as we believe we have the ability, the ability to say no to what is, we are bound to suffer.
Yeah. And that wonderful example of being with that pain, screaming with it, then feeling great, and then having to encounter it again, really puts us in that place of being present to whatever is going on and recognizing the hallucination and not going with it.
Yes. Yeah, not abandoning that human being. That's the, you know, for most of us, that's just one of the deepest fears is of being abandoned. And that's what conditioning teaches us to do. We abandon ourselves every time it screams, oh, no.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Let's hear from our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. This is Todd. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Wow, a whole lot.
It's a big life.
It's a big life. Wow, that whole conversation about pain, I've had a 3-day workshop with a direct experience of physical pain. And not abandoning the human through it. Mm. Yeah. I had a really severe toothache about 4 days ago, and that whole imagery of that hallucination or that urgency to do something about it rather than be with it, which I'd never done before. The previous, I think, conditioned behaviors was get straight to the dentist and have it extracted.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
get me out of this.
Yeah, get me out of this. And I saw that abandoning part about at times turning our lives over to quotations experts that may know better than we do. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I thought, I'm just going to wait and see, and I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with it, and I did lots of recordings around it. And yesterday it subsided, and it's totally gone away without having to do any evasive action.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I am actually in shock, because I thought, I'm probably going to lose this molar. It's extremely painful. I can't eat on that side. I've had this situation on the left side where I lost a molar, and I didn't get it replaced. And yesterday afternoon it subsided, and this morning I woke up not 1 ounce of pain. Not trying to put meaning or anything on it, but I'm just like, okay, well, let's just see.
Yeah, let's just see. And it really does free you up. Now, if you choose to, go talk to somebody who is an expert in that field.
Right.
Because you're not coming from a bailed out on Todd, just do anything anybody says. you're really in a position to have a conversation with somebody, get another opinion, see what your options are, let life drop in guidance for you. Yeah,
that's
freedom.
Such a key point. It's freedom. That whole key point about let life drop in guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kept watching for the last 3 days and doing recordings and being with being the human in loving kindness and compassion and even acceptance of the pain that, I mean, it was severe, but it wasn't unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like severe. It was not comfortable, but it wasn't life or death. Like I kept saying, it's not life or death.
Mm-hmm.
It's not life or death. We're okay. We're okay. Mm-hmm. And what kept dropping in, Sherry, was this conversation you had a couple years ago, interestingly enough, where I don't know what format it was in, but you said you had a very, I'll paraphrase it, a heated discussion with your dentist about some procedure.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, and it just reminded me of, we don't need to necessarily turn our lives over to experts in urgency.
Yes.
And I think that's what I was taking from it.
Yeah. In fact, of course, as you're referring to, I always encourage people, before you do anything with an expert, become the expert.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing to say that you can't know everything that there is to know about what could cause that kind of pain in a tooth. We have access to all that information, so that when you go in to talk to him or her, you really can have a conversation of two intelligent people who are equals. Not that one down, I'm the expert and you're not, and so you better, you know, we don't have to live in that place.
Yeah, and it's so funny you said that, because 2 days ago I got on the web and I researched everything I could, too, about what causes tooth pain, what it might be, this and that. And one of the variables, which I found very interesting, it can be a situation where you have a head or sinus cold.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, at that time I had a head cold.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? I have this head cold. My ears are kind of blocked off. My sinuses are painful. And it says some tooth pain can be brought on by a sinus or head cold, and it could abate once that alleviates itself. And the two things happened simultaneously, where the head cold slot started to ease and the tooth pain went away, and I went, okay, interesting. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what Ashwin was pointing at, that practice and action is just receiving life's guidance and then moving along with it. And that whole thing of that hallucination of ego-centered conversation, self-hate, creating all these machinations of urgency, 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 and not acting on that urgency, which is just so key.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we take that kind of lesson, if you will, out into the rest of our lives.
Sure.
So whatever happens, we really know from our own direct experience, panicking is not going to be helpful. I can breathe and calm down. I trust life. It's okay. The only thing that matters is being with this human being. And then let's see what life offers next.
Right, and I have no idea. It could be like the previous call. It could, you know, resurface. I could have another huge, extreme thought about it. But you're right, Sherry. I can go into a dentist's office with a little bit of information. I can have an equal conversation. I can even ask, well, that's great. Thank you for all the information today. I'd like to get a second opinion and see someone else.
Yeah.
You know,
go back, take that information, research some more. Yeah,
right.
Make it interesting.
Where I would also often in the past, without a lot of practice, go in with the professional or the expert, take their, you know, first situation of saying what they need, what should be done, and then going with it and not even exploring any other possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And of course, over the years, I've talked to just countless people who have done that and then have lived to regret it.
Yes.
Because it wasn't good advice and they had something done to them that. It's so very sad.
I've had some examples in my own life where I've taken the very first knee-jerk reaction and gone with it and had suffered some consequences of that. So
it's been a
huge, huge workshop, and just so grateful for everything that comes in our lives is a gift. And even during that toothache, I was saying, this is a gift. What do I see? And I saw so much. I kept seeing so much.
Yeah.
Because it was a gift. Secondly, it brought mindful eating to a new level.
Yes.
You know, when your whole right side of your mouth is in extreme pain, you really, really, you know, mindfully eating anything and everything.
It's so present.
It's so present. Well, thank you so much.
Right.
And thank you,
Thank you, Todd.
And Sherry. And hopefully you have time for another caller. That would be fun.
All right. Good. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
Sorry, Todd. I cut you off before you said thank you, but thank you. It's I would love to bring another caller in, Sherry, but just that comment on, you know, the part of the hallucination is that pain is something that we can't stand, but it's such an important aspect of being human. And in situations like this, we have the ability to see how we can be with that. And I think what it assists us to do is to not buy the hallucination that we can't stand it. It's one of the reasons we avoid it or try to fix it. And then when we have that experience, we just have a different way of being, right? That the fear that we can't stand pain is not what drives us anymore.
Yes. Oh, that is so important. That is so important. Getting, proving to ourselves that I can't stand it is a hollow threat is critical, isn't it?
Yeah. I was looking at it this morning, and there were I think it was a paragraph from Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh where it says, pain is not to make us miserable. Pain is to make us alert. And that's where most people go wrong, that when we're in pain, we're required to pay attention. And if we don't go with the hallucination, there is so much we let go of in being aware in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just
not
the way
to make
Todd
a contest of it.
Yeah,
to make a contest of it and not go to the emergency room when you have a kidney stone and an excruciating pain, but just to have a different attitude of mind.
Yeah, because we can go to the emergency room with absolute presence, right?
Yes, exactly so.
We can do anything with presence. All right, it sounds like we have time. All right, here we go.
We have 3 minutes, so let's get another caller on board. Here we go.
Next
caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice, and I'm just briefly in Victoria.
Hey,
Janice. Hi there. I'll have to do the condensed version here. So one of the things that I had to come just briefly because the hardest part of the transition is to find general practitioners. And I guess, as you know, my husband's got complicated issues. So we had to come back because we were able to get appointments with two different people and we needed to be interviewed. And this was yesterday. And now he had no form to have to fill out, and mine had like a great long list of questions and things. And I think I'd kind of come off of a 5-day local Zen sesshin. My mind isn't really thinking of, you know, having to think back. Well, what was this, and then what did you do, and you know, it was just like, I was so present, I just almost didn't know how to answer some of these questions.
That was 2 weeks ago. That's way too far in the past for me to relate to. Ask me about today.
and there is a question, and it said, at the very end of all these questions, it said, what are you most proud of? And I'm kind of thinking, proud? Wow. And then I just spontaneously put down my resiliency.
Wow.
And then the next question was, that's the very final question, it said, from this practitioner, what would you have, something like, what would you have liked to change in your life? And there it was. It just came up, and it was just like nothing. And I remembered the quote because then I saw the brain, you know, the mind wanted to kind of noodle. Conditioning was going to say, you can't say that. You know, you can't say passing. And
Watch me in. Oh.
Is that come back to the breath, come back to the heart of the body. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, this 20 years ago, that particular day, yesterday, my father had died, and I had spent 6 weeks being completely present in, you know, with him. And you mentioned the other day about relationships that people might have had in the past as a child, you know, being, you know, told, well, you should have known better, or I'm telling you this because you should know, whack, because you should know better. You know, all the things that don't work. But in that 6 weeks of letting it, that I was so present, it was like maybe not present to physical pain, but emotional pain and everything dissolving and being let go. I would not have traded that for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And currently, I have a dear friend who's dying of ovarian cancer, and her pet, too, is. And I feel like only with those other experiences would I have the presence that I've been having to have the ability to hear and listen and to be there. I need it. Everything in my life to be here right now on this call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. To not want to change anything.
Nothing at all. And to be so, and to be grateful for it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It is, to me, it's what you're describing is an experience of the non-separate nature of authenticity. There's nothing wrong. There's nobody left out, nobody separate, nobody abandoned, nobody who's going to be left behind, or nobody's being punished. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even an experience of dying with a very painful condition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
just makes a person want to love more, doesn't it?
Yes. No, there is nothing else but to love more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Janice.
Yeah, deep gas show.
Deep gas show.
Thanks, Janice.
Well, it brings us beautifully to the assignment, Sherry, which says, with every gust of wind, the butterfly changes its place on the willow. Is that gust of wind and movement to a new place on the willow a problem for the butterfly? From an appreciative presence to life unfolding, the answer would be a happy, not a bit. From identification with the control freak we know as egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, that wind and that movement are a big problem. That's not how I wanted it. I want to be there. When I want to move, I'll move. Life don't mess with me. Today, each time you feel the tightness of ego's controlling no, picture yourself as a butterfly gently moving with life. Record and listen.
So I went right there. And that, for those seconds, I was a butterfly. Thank you. All right. Yes, thank you so much, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Go happy.
Go happy. Treasure yourself.